sliding his hand up my ribs between my breasts so he can squeeze my throat. My words are cut off, along with my air, and my eyes feel the pressure as Malachi grinds into me. My inner walls clutch around his dick, and the pleasurable heat shoots from my curling toes all the way to my core as I silently scream and come all over his cock. I clench around his thickness repeatedly, my back arching, and he stills, finding his own release as he fills me with each drop of his forbidden cum. He only stays in place for a second before pulling out and shoving himself away from me. He's standing as I push up onto my palms, seeing all the blood I hadn't realized had soaked into my face and hands and chest. My hands shake, though nowhere near as much as my legs do as I sit up on my haunches, and I glance over at Malachi as he tucks his cock away, wiping his face, his chest rising and falling. I stare at my father's body, bleeding and twitching, my wide eyes lifting to Malachi again. He doesn't seem to care as I reach down to check my dad's pulse, which is weak but present. Dad, stay with me. I'm going to get you to a hospital, I say with a shaky voice as I pull on my panties and jeans. Malachi's cum already leaking out of me. I shoulder past Malachi and run to the kitchen, slamming my fist on the emergency button on the wall, sending signals to the nearest cop car and ambulance. I glance up at Malachi as he follows me back to my father's body. I'll give you a head start, I snarl, trembling, the sirens already sounding nearby. Run, Malachi.
Part 2. Malachi. 8 years later. 10. Malachi. My beautiful Olivia. My beautiful, smart, and twisted Olivia. You may have everyone else fooled with your kindness, with your warm smiles and soft voice, using them to get what you want in life, but I know you. I know the real you. Not this fake facade you show to those near you, your posture, your style of clothes, the way you let those delicate moans slip free when you ride your own hand, thinking of what we could have had if you hadn't testified against me. I know the depths of your depravity and the way your mind works. I know you more than you know yourself, you little fucking minx. My foster sister's touch is like a tattoo on my skin, even now, all these years later. The way she whimpered my name against my lips, how tightly her cunt gripped my cock when I fucked her over our dying father's body coated in his blood. I'm just biding my time, waiting in the shadows and watching her receive all the gifts I leave her. They make her nervous. She hates chocolates and flowers and jewelry, so I shower her with them. She's on edge, yet I think she likes to be scared. No, I know she likes the thrill of fear. Her journal goes into great detail about her dark desires, how much she yearns to be stalked, chased, kidnapped, and taken. So, being the ever-loving big brother that I am, I intend to bring all her fucked-up fantasies to life while she begs for my forgiveness. She's been waiting for me, the brother who was released from prison 6 months ago. She looks for me and searches my name on the internet 5 times a day, trying to find where I am, messaging her friends that if I was going to come for her, I would have already done so. I still have the voicemails she left on my phone. Drunken ones, sad ones, angry ones. I've listened to all of them, save them on my computer so I can hear her crying that she hates me yet misses me, that she's sorry for the way everything went when we were teenagers. Sorry, 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 fucking sorry. That damn word echoes in my psyche, a curse that won't fuck off. Sorry's just a word to try to get out of something, to dodge trouble if you've been caught out. Sorry's a five-letter disgrace that shouldn't even need to be used. It should be abolished from the fucking dictionary. Actions do speak louder than words, and if she's as sorry as she makes out in her voicemails, then why does she sometimes look happy? Why is she going out partying with her friends, kissing guys who, shockingly, vanish days later? Why does she dance around her apartment singing ridiculous songs about love? Why is she living her life without me? If the bitch is sorry, then why is she only looking me up on the internet and not hunting for me? Why isn't she looking for me? It fucking irks me that she didn't visit me. Not once. I refused any and all visitation from others, but I asked her to come and see me. I wrote to her the first 2 years, waiting patiently for a written reply, a presence, a smile to my fucking face that never came. She left me in there to rot. Well, little sister, no need to look for me anymore. I'm right here, and I intend to stick around until I've broken you. I'll break her the way she broke me. I'm going to make her terrified. Make her scream for help while I fuck her tight ass and force her to show she's sorry. For those 8 years, I didn't communicate with a single soul. I've kept my voice to myself where no one else can take it since I was 5 years old. The one time I tried to use it, I struggled to pronounce her name, and Olivia yelled at me that I was a liar, that she hated me, that we were done, and slapped me across the face before I could get her name past my lips. I've been stuck in my own purgatory since I was born. The different one, the black sheep, the fucking mute weirdo who has an intense fascination with his little sister. I mean, who wouldn't find her fascinating? Staying behind her, not too far but close enough that I can see the peachy outline of her ass in that tight, cock-hardening dress, I shove my hands in my pockets and keep my eyes on her. Her porcelain skin glows in the sun while she walks with her face in her phone, ignoring the outside world like there aren't hundreds of people walking past her. It's the same routine every morning, me following behind undetected, her with those ridiculously high heels turning left and entering the small coffee shop for her usual morning coffee. While I smoke a cigarette across the road, she'll order, check the magazines for anything new, and then she'll smile at the barista. The same barista I've imagined diced and in small bags in my chest freezer. The only reason the person isn't dead is that my sister's smile will drop as soon as she leaves, and then she'll take another left to the courthouse. It's not far from where we live, a short walk that brings me joy from being on the same trail as her as I listen to her heels clicking on the sidewalk. With my hood up and my cap hiding most of my face, my head down, she never notices me walking her to work. My sister works with our mother, an assistant. A fucking hot piece of ass that all the dickheads want whenever she walks in. They don't care that she's engaged, to my own fucking dismay. Yet I'm shocked it took this long for Mom to nail her down to someone. Adam turned out to be gay, Parker still can't walk properly, and all the other suitors she's had over the past 6 months have mysteriously vanished from existence. You're fucking welcome, Olivia. They weren't enough. For you, no one is except me. The guy she's supposed to marry is some businessman who made a deal with our parents. They'd invest together, build an empire, but only if Olivia Vise married their son, Xander. She hasn't even met the fucker. Mom seems to be giving her some time before the wedding is booked. A wedding I'll blow the fuck up if it goes ahead. I'll make sure I kill my dad this time, and I'll strangle Mom with his intestines and force Olivia to marry me instead. Then I'll cage the bitch and feed her my cock when she's hungry. Once she disappears into the building, I set off to her apartment like I do every day. It's the same routine, the same journey. I'll wake in my apartment, coincidentally across from hers, and I'll watch the cameras as she gets washed, dressed, has some breakfast. Then I'll grab my coat when she leaves the house. We spend a lot of time together, me and my sister. She just doesn't know about it. My favorite time is when she drinks the spiked alcohol in her fridge. I get to come over and care for her. Sometimes I'll wash her hair and cuddle her in bed, and other times I watch her stumble around her apartment in the dark, thinking my shadow is part of her nightmares. The fucking control I always need when she starts stripping her clothes off while drugged up. I deserve a goddamn medal for not shoving my cock in her cunt or mouth. I crack open her door and deeply inhale, enjoying her scent, which is all over the apartment. It's the only time I get to smell her, apart from when I'm fumbling around with her unconscious form. My apartment is on the same level as hers, but across the street. I was kind of shocked she wasn't living it up in some mansion like we were raised in, as if she wants some normality before she's launched into the life of the rich asshole she's tied to. I still need to deal with him, but the heavy protection he has is a bit of a ball ache. I check all the cameras are still hidden, pour myself a coffee, the same way she makes hers, and sit down on her sofa. Kicking my feet up, I sigh and look at the pictures littering her wall. Her graduating college, though she doesn't use her qualification, her with a dog that died a year ago. Her and a boyfriend she had while I was locked up for 8 years, her fucking doing, by the way. Some pictures with friends. And my favorite, the largest on the wall, one of the two of us. Her kissing my cheek when we were 16 and 17, when I was in a state of confusion over why I hit a boner every time I looked at my sister. She has a necklace over the frame. There's a smaller image of us in that too. Younger. Me on her back at the beach. I'm a slim dickhead in it, no ink, no muscles, and I'm wearing a blue shirt that says something about fucking sharks. Mom knew I hated sharks, but she bought me it anyway. Fuck her too. I drew a mustache on her picture, but Olivia has yet to notice. Fuck that entire family. Except the daughter. She's hot and kind of imprinted on my brain. My dear, sweet, innocent sister. I still see her distraught face while I sat before her in handcuffs, the way she couldn't look at me while she testified against me, ultimately sending me to prison for attempted murder on her precious daddy. Dad ended up with brain damage, loss of memory, and use of some body parts. So she got away without losing her vice status, since our dad has no recollection of why the fight broke out. He interrupted my meal. Maybe now he'll know better than to take away my food, the fucking asshole! He should have died. I wanted him to die. I still do. He takes up so much of Olivia's attention. She's always wheeling him around in his chair, opening his food for him, feeding him. She kisses his cheek every time she leaves the manor. I know this because I have cameras set up there too. I have cameras everywhere she goes. My girl never needs to worry about anyone hurting her because her wonderful ex-con, apparently psychotic brother, is free and keeping her out of harm's way. It's a pity I can't protect her from myself. Her betrayal isn't something I can shrug off like everything else. Her fucking people, while I was locked away, having relationships, being happy, was unacceptable. But I let it all slide after squashing each element. But earning my forgiveness won't be easy. I'll have the whore begging on her knees for me to forgive her for all her fucking sins against me. Her laptop dings, and I drop my feet and walk over to her small desk. The screen brightens, and I watch the messages fly back and forth between her and her friends in a group chat. They're discussing Halloween this weekend, a festival they want to go to. One of her friends, Anna, the one who caused this entire colossal fuck-up, says she's not going to a party while pregnant with twins, and another asked if they're too old to party. Not gonna lie, Anna is lucky I care about her friend and her opinion of me because I fully intended to strangle her when I got out. I even went to her address in the middle of the night and made a plan for where I'd stash her body, but of course she had to go and get pregnant, didn't she? Olivia would never forgive me if I killed her. I'm mad at my sister, but I don't want to give her any more reasons to hate me. It's not a fair game yet. Olivia gives her the middle finger emoji, and I chuckle while sipping my coffee in her This Princess Loves Hugs mug.
Abigail, we're 26, you asshole. Just because you settled down doesn't mean we need to. Stop being a party pooper and get a costume picked. Olivia, I already have my costume. Did you get the Poison Ivy outfit? Abigail, yes. I can't wait to see yours. Are you still going as a goth bride as a fuck you to your parents? Olivia, wink emoji. I'm very mature.
I straighten, glancing over at her bedroom. It's tidy. The entire fucking house is tidy, the little clean freak that she is. I kind of love watching her putting music on and dancing around in her panties while she vacuums. One of my favorite pastimes with my cock in my hand. I pull open her wardrobe and spot the costume that wasn't there yesterday, and my dick hardens at the thought. The fucking image in my head of her dressed up as a bride in black. The black tutu and corset, black netted tights and garter. I rub the material of the veil, gulping at the possibility of losing her to some other asshole when she marries. I slam the wardrobe door harder than necessary, fist my hands and screw my eyes shut. Breathe, Malachi, fucking breathe and don't wreck the place. Focus. Repress. I open my eyes and shake it off. If my girl is going out for Halloween, it looks like I am too. I can't wait to reacquaint my cock with her cunt. That one time with her over Dad's prone body replays in my mind, but it's not enough. After reading in her journal that she would love to be taken while unconscious, I've been tempted to fuck her in her drugged up state, to ram my cock in her ass too, but I want her eyes on me. I want her lucid, watching me fucking take what she took away from me. I want to hear her screaming in both fear and pleasure while she reacquaints her throat with my cock and cries for mercy. I won't show her any. That little shit took 8 years from me, and this weekend, while she dresses up as a slutty bride, I'm going to make her pay. Once I eat one of her apples and toss aside the core, I intentionally kick over her laundry basket and leave the toilet seat up, then place the chocolates on her table. I look around her place once more before I leave, then pull on my motorbike helmet and fix my gloves onto my hands as I make my way across the street to my bike. The closest costume store isn't too far away, and I can't help but feel excitement. She likes to be scared while turned on. And she's going to be fucking terrified while I chase her down and choke the life out of her. 11. Malachi. The costume store smells funky. Skulls everywhere. Hockey masks. Some blank faces. I contemplate the black one with the spider effect, but I want something more. The Jason mask looks like it's covered in years-old dust, and I squint at the corner of the store where there's a row of three other masks. Heavy boots take me there, the light above me flickering like I'm some sort of bad entity haunting the place. My gaze falls on a black gas mask, two chambers on each side, rusty looking, the eyes covered in mesh. My lip curls at the corner and I reach for it, feeling the weight of it in my hands, the rough texture of the design, imagining wearing it. My darling Olivia having no idea it's me behind the mask while she sucks my cock. Nothing else here calls to me, so I pay for it and head back to my apartment. After I shower and cook some dinner, I sit at my desk. Screens litter the wall in front of me, showing everywhere Olivia goes, and I search each one to find her. She's standing in her friend's kitchen, sipping from a mug and laughing at something Anna's husband is saying. Her friend rubs her pregnant belly and Olivia presses her hand to it, her eyes widening. I see no reason to be happy here. Why is she smiling like that? Babies are just reincarnations of the devil, in my opinion, so I have no desire to ever become a father. I'd be terrible anyway. I wouldn't ever want a miniature version of me stealing my attention from my sister. I'm an asshole. Why would I want another one of me? When I filled Olivia up with my cum, I loved the way it dripped out of her cunt. I wanted to spread it over her pussy and shove it back inside, not wanting to waste a drop. But I never wanted to get her pregnant. That would have been a fucking disaster. The first year of my imprisonment, I thought Olivia's silence was because she was pregnant, that I'd got her pregnant from that one time, and I even started asking her in letters if the kid was mine, tricking myself into believing I had a kid out there that was taking all of her attention from me. She wasn't visiting me because she had a bastard chained to her. Thankfully, she's still childless and on birth control, so no pregnancies or babies or shitty diapers. Fuck. Wait. What if her future husband wants to knock her up? I sit forward and open up my search bar, hunting to see if there's any way to perform a hysterectomy safely at home, but I fail to find a single article. I huff and lean my elbow on the desk, fist to my temple, and wonder if I can drug the guy and hire a doctor to snip him. Less invasive than doing it to Olivia. It's a win-win. My girl doesn't want to be a mother anyway. Olivia kisses her friend's cheek, waves to the little girl in the high chair, then goes to her car. I sigh and watch her drive off and wait until she drops into another screen. 10 minutes later, she pulls into her usual gas station, pays for her gas and some chips, then gets back into her car. By the time she gets home, it's dark out. My lights are off as I stand by the window, watching her struggle to find her key to the entrance of her building. She drops her phone and stamps her foot, which makes me smile as I take a draw of my cigarette. The little things she does make me feel all warm and fuzzy, and I need to remind myself she's a snake with a pretty face and a tight pussy. She vanishes into the building, and I turn to watch the screens again, keeping the smoke between my lips while I zoom in on all the cameras in her apartment. She drops her keys on the table beside the door, freezing in place when she sees the box of chocolates. Her bag slips from her shoulder, and I grin as she walks towards it, slowly lifting the box and reading the little note I left. You look so beautiful today, sweet Olivia. As usual, she tosses the chocolates in the trash and crushes the note before throwing it aside.
Leave me alone!
She yells, kicking her bag in annoyance, stopping when she sees her laundry basket tipped over and her clothes on the ground. She rolls her eyes and checks her apples. Always 10, but I eat one daily just to annoy her more. The toilet seat is up too, so she slaps it down and groans to herself.
Fucking weirdo,
she mutters, and my smile slips at the use of the insult everyone used to throw at me. She opens her wine bottle, fills the glass with the drug-filled liquid, and I wait patiently for her to pass out on the sofa before I turn off my screens and head over. She's snoring lightly when I arrive. The wine spilled on the floor, staining her rug. I clean it up and wipe the drool from her mouth. I run her a warm bath, add some oils, and wait until it bubbles up, using her fingerprint to unlock her phone and turn on the playlist she listens to while bathing. She's limp in my arms as I lift her, and I pause for a moment when her head flops into my chest and her hair goes in my face. I inhale, closing my eyes and burying my head in her shoulder, feeling that warmth again and wondering if she'd allow this if she was conscious. Doubt it. I'd be shocked if she didn't try to beat the shit out of me, then call the cops for stalking and drugging her. I press a kiss to her forehead and carry her to the bathroom, lowering us both to the floor while a Lana Del Rey song plays from her phone. I push the sleeves of her dress down her arms until the material is at her hips, then unclip her bra, her perky breasts bouncing as I pull them free. Ignoring the intense need to capture a nipple between my teeth is harder than my cock right now. I inwardly groan and yank the rest of her dress down her legs, pressing my forehead to her shins and breathing, trying to regain my composure before I sit up and hook my fingers into her panties. I slide the fabric down her soft, smooth legs to reveal her pussy. Every single time I do this, I struggle not to touch her. She's perfection on the outside. Beautiful, stunning, a work of fucking art that was born to drive me more insane than I already am. My cock thickens even further and I bite my lip, my thighs tensing. She's lying on the ground, out, cold, naked, and I feel like I'm dying inside.
If Malachi was free, I'd want it to be him to make all my fantasies come true.
She had written in her journal. I spread her legs, closing my eyes again and counting to three, keeping my hand on her thigh. Without looking, I glide my palm up, letting out a shaky breath when I reach the apex of her thigh, my thumb on her mound. I dig my fingers into her skin and my eyes ping open as she whimpers. She's still drugged up and far from conscious, but her hips rock upwards a little, and she makes a soft noise when my thumb presses to her clit. Short puffs of air escape her lips as I rub the pad of my thumb over it, circling slowly, my mouth fucking watering as I bring myself closer. She's enjoying this. I should keep going. I part her pussy with my other hand, opening her wide for me. My face dives between her legs, and I inhale her scent. My dick fucking aching to be released from the confines of my pants. I want to tell her how intoxicating her cunt is, that her glistening arousal on the tip of my nose is making me delusional, insanity running wild in my mind. If I could use my voice, I'd tell her how perfect she was. That I wish I could stay between her legs forever. I won't talk. I can barely string a sentence together, even when I was training my voice box in my cell to produce four syllables without pausing. Pathetic, in all honesty. Wanting to say Olivia's name and struggling to do so made me drive my fist into too many walls. I know how to fucking talk, I do, but it just can't without making a fool of myself. I stutter and my tone is all over the place. One or two words are fine, as long as they aren't a mouthful or tongue twisters. When the time comes, I will find it in me to tell her what I really think of her, how I feel when I look at her. Olivia lifts her hips, trying to chase my mouth as I pull back. My girl wants me. She wants to be fucked while sleeping. Her cunt is glistening from her arousal, and I ease my middle finger in, her tight walls clutching as I sink deeper, then stop circling her clit and replace my thumb with my mouth. I hum against her as I suck on her clit, and her hips move slightly again, rocking her pussy against my tongue and finger. I add a second finger, curling them inside her while I flick my tongue. Delicious. Exactly like I remember. I fuck her with my fingers, sucking, biting, grinding my cock against her motionless leg. She cries out softly as she soaks my hand with her arousal, and I stop when I hear the water pouring over the side of the tub. Sighing, I pull my fingers out of her and get to my knees, turning off the tap and releasing some of the water down the drain. My anger knows no bounds because I want to smash the tub up for interrupting us. I unbuckle my belt and free my cock, fisting the base and giving it a stroke, watching the wetness on her thighs, her hole, calling to my cock, begging me to come home. My balls are heavy, needing a release, and I stroke myself again, my piercing sliding against my palm as I line up the head of my cock to her cunt, gasping as I push into her. Fuck, she's so damn tight. Her pussy is gripping me like a fucking fist. I'll make it fit, I think to myself, pushing in a little deeper. Olivia has a string of drool down her chin. I wipe it away with my thumb and move the hair from her face as I pull out a few inches and thrust back into the hilt. Her brows knit together and I press my forehead to hers, breathing her in as I fuck into her, my balls slapping against her thigh the faster I go. So wet, so fucking mine, even when she's not aware of it. I press my mouth to hers, slipping my tongue between her lips as I groan, pounding into her harder, faster, deeper, grabbing her leg and hiking it up to get a better angle than this missionary shit. I can taste the wine on my tongue as I suck on hers, and I falter when I feel her kiss me back, or try to. She's rocking against me lightly, nowhere near the way I'm hammering into her, breathing heavily while her eyes flutter.
Malachi.
I pause, nearly releasing inside her from my name slurring from her mouth. Her eyes are closed. I slap her cheek lightly, but she doesn't wake. Does that mean she's dreaming of me? I draw back and pummel into her harder, making her inner walls crush my cock. Fuck! I haven't had sex in 8 years, nearly nine, and it all feels natural. The way I thrust, hitting her sweet spot with my piercings, dragging moans from her as I suck on her mouth. I drop my head and take one of her tightening nipples into my mouth, and she's arching completely off the floor, taking me deeper, letting out a strangled moan as she grows warmer, wetter, shaking beneath me. She chokes on air as I sink my teeth into her nipple, biting hard, making sure it hurts, which only has her pussy clutching me repeatedly, her scream muffled as I fuck her into an orgasm. It doesn't take me long to follow her. My balls tighten into my body, my legs tense up, and my spine goes stiff as I fill her with my cum, stilling my cock deep inside her clenching pussy. I let her nipple pop from my mouth and kiss a harsh trail up her chest and jaw to her lips as she falls back into a fully unconscious state. I pull my cock out of her, rid myself of the rest of my clothes, and lift her into the tub with me. With her back to my front, I lie back, listening to the music with my eyes closed, heart still racing. Well, this is relaxing. Usually I'm in this position and trying to fight the urge to touch her, but since that's already been covered, I can just relax. Olivia's skin has always been soft, a few freckles dusting her shoulders, and I kiss each one of them while I wash her, soaking her hair and reaching for her strawberry-scented shampoo. I love the way her hair feels between my fingers, the way the shampoo lathers in my hands as I clean it. I use her sponge on her arms and legs, and she whimpers as I drop it between her thighs and wipe away the evidence of me fucking her. I kiss her throat, feeling her pulse beneath my lips, before wrapping my arms around her. Once I get her dried and into a pair of her silky PJs, I tuck her into bed and kiss her forehead, pulling the covers up to her chin. I stroke her hair, rubbing it between my fingers. It's a bit wet. I could only dry so much of it with the towel before I got fed up. I clean the tub with a cloth, mop up our cum and the water from the floor, and make sure the small mat is exactly where it was before I fucked her on it. Hands to my hips, I tilt my head and look at the fluffy thing. Was it straighter? Will she realize it's been moved? Huffing, I turn off the light and head to the kitchen, pausing when I see all the dishes in the sink. My eyes roll before I rinse them off, then fill her dishwasher and turn it on. I fix her apple stack, straighten out her mugs, then chew my lips as I glance around for anything else I might have messed with prior to her being drugged. I already cleaned up the wine, but there's still a little stain on her carpet, so I get on my hands and knees and scrub at it until it's unidentifiable. I empty the filter in her coffee machine, then empty her trash can and tie the bag, leaving it by the door for me to take when I leave. Really, where would she be without me? Olivia is still asleep when I get back to her room, and I yawn and drop onto the bed beside her, exhausted from tidying up after fucking her. I grab her phone, unlock it with her finger, and swipe through her photos. There's nothing new, but then I accidentally scroll back to her albums and find one labeled M that appears to be locked. I unlock it with her thumbprint, and loads of images and videos pop up of me, us, the family who raised us, and I spend the next hour swiping through them. She was always taking pictures or recording me. She even has pictures of newspaper clippings from my arrest, the headline that my sister testified that I nearly broke my lawyer's face when he told me Olivia had turned her back on me. I didn't hold back when she was in that witness box. My interpreter translated everything I signed. I let the world know how much of a whore my sister was, how she was always on her knees for me, that Mom sold her virginity, fucking everything, but I was silenced and labeled as a madman, though I refused to plead insanity. Those few days of the trial were like a blur. I was so mad at Olivia, but I do kind of regret letting it all out. Not that anyone believed me. Again, madman and all. But what we had was real. We fucked, maybe in a little bit of a messy situation, but we'd covered all boundaries, and I was fully prepared to tell everyone what she meant to me. But then the cops came, and it ended. I waited for her in that cell, day after day. But it's okay now, because I'm here. I grin as I shut off her phone and stare at the ceiling, my hand behind my head. Despite everything, I got to have sex with my sister again. It only took nearly a fucking decade. Turning on my side, I open her drawer and pull out her journal. Total invasion of privacy, but it allows me to see into her head without needing to split open her skull and inspect her brain with a magnifying glass. She touches a lot on sexual activity, how inactive she is, which makes me smile. After tonight, we are officially actively fucking, my sweet Olivia. I'll be doing this every single night now. She came all over my cock, whimpered my name, and moaned, so she definitely liked it. What kind of a brother would I be if I didn't give her more? A few times, she's mentioned the guy across the street. Me, by the way. She writes about watching me, wondering what I look like without my helmet, and once she wrote she thinks it could be me, but quickly backtracked because if it was me, surely the last thing I'd be doing is living across the street and giving her space. If it was me, then she'd probably be dead. Ridiculous. I don't want to kill her. I want to crush her. There's a difference. She wants to gather enough courage to talk to the biker. She wants to give him her number and somehow ask him out, which, again, is fucking hilarious and annoys the shit out of me because she has no idea who he is. He could be a 90-year-old man or have a face covered in warts, or worse, the biker could look like that fuckwit Parker. In her recent journal entries, she talks about being lonely and that the marriage Mom's set up terrifies her. She doesn't find her future husband attractive from all the photos Mom emailed her and thinks he'll most likely cheat on her like her brother did. Firstly, I didn't cheat. And secondly, we weren't in a relationship either. I was her secret little fuckboy, someone she could teach what she loved. My eyes fall on the stack of letters I wrote to her. She has them strapped together with a rubber band in the drawer. Some of them are severely crumpled, as if she's gotten mad and scrunched them up, only to try flattening them once again. I drop her journal and pull the top one out and unravel it. It's the first one I ever sent her. I read over it, shaking my head at my idiotic younger self. Words like, missing you, and I didn't think it was possible to be without you, and now there's a huge wall between us, and will you visit me? I'm sorry for yelling at court. And my least favorite, a very dark time for me. I'm not comfortable around these people. They call me a weirdo like the kids at school did because I won't talk. Please don't leave me in here. Yet she didn't reply, even when my letters grew more desperate. No reply, not to this letter, or the one after, or the 50-odd after that. I even begged her in some of these letters, demanding to know why she hadn't come to see me, if I'd done something wrong. I was in a state of confusion for so long, wondering, no, calculating what error I'd made in the last few years. I even told her in a very messy letter, one of my last, that I had no idea how to control the way I felt about her, and that if I had got her pregnant, I'd step up, even though I had no idea how to be a good father, that if she'd visit with my son or daughter, let me see them, I'd do better. She didn't reply to that one either. I must have been a depressed asshole. I twist to look at my girl, my little sister, and brush my fingers through her hair. I hope she isn't sore tomorrow, but at the same time, I hope she's in fucking agony. When she wakes, she'll be confused, probably think she had a bad dream, and I'll be watching her, either from the shadows or behind my computer screens, waiting for the next opportunity to strike. 12. Malachi.
Olivia, what time does the festival start? Abigail. 7, I think. Are you still sick? Please tell me you aren't gonna cancel. Olivia. I'm not.
I smirk while I read the messages between my sister and her friend. She'd woken up yesterday, clouded and a little unsure of her surroundings, and staggered to the bathroom, and I'd held my breath in case I hadn't put the small rug in the right place, but she just relieved herself and showered. Her confusion continued when she saw the empty sink and trash can, then she sat on her sofa and massaged the inside of her thighs. The same ones I was between. She pressed her palm to her forehead, and through the feeds in my apartment, I'd watched her search the internet for answers as to why her thighs were sore, but none of the results filling the screen were the right one. The reason you're sore, and the reason your thighs are a little bruised, is because I fucked you, Olivia, and you loved it. It won't be the last time either, little sister. I will fuck you again. And again, until you lose your voice the way I did and silently cry until you realize you still love me. I keep smiling. I also keep talking to myself in my head as if my sister is in there, trapped within the darkness of my mind. It satiates me a little to imagine it, to believe she can hear everything I'm thinking, even though it would take me an hour minimum to actually get those words out. Maybe I am a little insane. Another message comes through. Olivia's saying she's leaving work early and will head to Abigail's house to get ready before they go to the festival. It's in the middle of nowhere, an abandoned barn on a farm that's now a designated party place all year round. I hum to myself as I watch Olivia walking home on my screens, which annoys me because she has a perfectly functional car in the apartment garage. Why walk and show everyone your perky tits and that tight dress and your peachy ass? Why smile at someone when they walk past you? Why are you not smiling at me? When I notice my cigarettes are nearly done, I get dressed, pull on my black hoodie and combats, and grab my motorbike helmet on the way out the door. I keep the monitoring software open on my phone as I walk down the flights of stairs, refusing to take the elevator because I'll lose my signal. I flick through the various feeds trying to find her, and when I reach the front door, I slip on my helmet and walk out. My bike is parked right outside. It's new, a black Kawasaki imported from Japan, fast as fuck and beautiful to look at. It's my pride and joy, after Olivia, obviously. I freeze when my eyes lift to find my main goal in life walking right towards me. Her hair flows in the wind, eyes bright, and her hand is wrapped around a basket filled with fruit. Wait, she's heading straight for me. Fuck, my visor isn't see-through, is it? No, I made sure it wasn't. Can she see my tattoos? She has no idea I got one on my neck, right? Fuck, why am I sweating? She has that cute grin on her face as she walks up to the side of my bike, her eyes dancing under the mop of hair hidden beneath the hood of her coat. She's just pulled it up to shield herself from the rain now drizzling from the sky. Seeing her up close, conscious and not through a screen or in my goddamn dreams, knocks the air out of my lungs, as does knowing that there might be a trace of my cum inside her still, that her milky thighs are tender, fucked and fucked and fucked. Does she know it's me? Has she figured out that I screwed her while she was asleep? Fuck, I don't know. I'll just look at...
Hey.
she says, her voice like music to my depraved ears.
Do you live nearby? I always see your bike parked here.
Go away, Olivia, before I crush your windpipe, or worse, fuck you in public with your stupid basket of fruit rolling down the street.
My name is Olivia.
She reaches out her hand, her cheeks reddening as she blushes.
I moved here a little over a year ago.
Can she fuck off? She's ruining my plan. Her hand drops when I don't acknowledge her existence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be intrusive. I'll just...
She turns around, going stiff as she looks for her last word.
Go.
But I don't want her to go. Then again, I'll fuck up my words and she might realize who I am. And if Olivia finds out her darling brother is living across the street, stalking her like he has nothing else to do in his boring life, then she might disappear. Or worse, call the cops again and get me charged with fuck knows what next. Come on, Malachi, I urge myself. Say something! Guy, I say quietly. The fewer syllables, the easier it is to talk. She stops and turns, confused. I clear my throat, my lips moving a few times before I get the words out. My name? Breathe, asshole. Guy. She smiles wide.
Well, hello, Kai.
Is she flirting with me? Me? No, she's flirting with a stranger, not me, not fucking me. I want to strangle her. Hi. I say, not bothering with her name because I'll fuck it up. At least I don't sound like an old man. My voice is quite deep and what people call husky, and I know she likes that. She smiles again and turns away, walking towards her apartment entrance. I stare at her ass, the sway of her hips, and wonder how long I can hold my breath before I die. My bones are shaking. I think I might pass out as soon as she vanishes into the building. Being so close to her like this, with her bright eyes and mesmerizing smile, kinda knocks me off my fucked up axis. I almost want to abort my revenge-fueled mission and tell her I forgive her, that we can be together now that I'm no longer seen as part of the Vise family, yet I still hold the surname on all my documents and bank accounts. But she was flirting with me, not knowing who I am. Why does that fuck me off so badly? I climb onto my bike, turning the key and reveling in the vibrations all over my body. It's nearly as mind-bending as feeling Olivia come all over my cock. Seeing her on her knees on my balcony while Dad yells from beneath it, fucking into her mouth, my first ever blowjob. And seeing my cum on her lips, tasting her for the first time with my mouth. The kiss in her bed, the way she wanted me to grab her throat and choke her, the way she cried while Dad was bleeding to death under her while I fucked her from behind. Depraved thoughts have me fighting the urge to follow her into her home, but then I see her again, heading straight for me with a piece of paper in her hand, and I frown when she reaches it out to me. It nearly blows away in the wind, but I catch it.
I know this is forward, but I don't speak to many people.
She hands me the paper.
This is my number, and this is where I'm going tonight. It's a Halloween festival just outside town. You should come.
Thanks, I say, nearly hissing the word. I swallow, breathing through my nerves, trying to get this right. I'll go.
Really?
Her eyes widen.
Awesome. I can meet you outside the main gate at 7? Text me when you're there?
I nod and she blushes again before heading back to her apartment. I want to crack her skull open and feed her the gray matter of her brain because what the fuck is she doing inviting a stranger out? She's annoying me at the same time as making me nervous. She's basically asked me, someone she's never seen without a helmet, on a date. I could be an ugly motherfucker, a predator, or a murderer, and she's just given me a free invitation to meet with her. I'm a little lost when it comes to socializing and living normally, but are we not a little old to be going to festivals like this? It's more like a rave with a fairground that teenagers usually swarm. I'm 28, nearly 29, and I'm sneaking around, fucking my sister and planning on going to a Halloween party to chase her into the darkness and fuck her some more. I mean, I'll go. But the idea of her so easily flirting with someone has me crushing the paper with her number, squeezing my throttle, and speeding down the street. I glare at my phone. The new phone I had to go buy because I can't use my own one. She still has my number after all these years, so she'd know it's me. Me. Hey, it's Kai. I roll my eyes at myself. Out of all the fucking names, I picked what people tried to use as my nickname. I hate it. It was either that or Visey growing up, and I hated both. My name is Malachi, nothing else. I'm surprised she didn't put two and two together and realize who I was. The stranger on a motorbike she just flirted with and asked out without knowing who she was talking to. The phone dings and I lean back on my bed with my towel around my waist, water droplets sliding down my chest. I just did a workout and ran on my treadmill for far too long, needing to expel some energy before tonight, but I still feel like there's a lot more left to give. Olivia.
Hi. I didn't think you would reach out. Are you coming tonight?
Am I so far from reality that I have no idea how to reply? Do I just simply reply yes, and that's it? How do I keep the conversation going? Do I ask her if she's interested in sex? If she's just looking for a friend? If her pussy is still tender from being pounded on her bathroom floor? Me. Yeah. Seven? There. Simple and fine and in no way suspicious. Right? I glance over at my desk, my eyes zoning in on her sitting on her sofa, knees tucked up, chewing her fingernails while staring at her phone. She types, but stops and throws her head back, as if she's unsure what to say. Smirking, I go sit at my desk and watch her fight her own strange little battle. It absolutely does not help my stiffening cock that she's also in a towel and that with her knees up, I can see between her legs. When she still doesn't reply, still fighting her demons, I type again. Me. Are you single? She bites the corner of her lip as she grins, a blush creeping up her throat and cheeks.
My boyfriend would be furious if he knew I gave my number to some random biker.
My smile drops and my brows knit together. She's not single? Since fucking when?
I'm kidding. I'm not a very funny person. But yes, I'm as single as they come. How about you?
Technically, she's half single. She's neglected to mention that mom's lined her up with a husband. She also has a brother, me, by the way, who she has a fascination with. I can be cocky about that. She does have pictures of me on her phone, and I have more than enough voicemails as proof. She fancies me, but flirts with the biker? Me. I don't do relationships. I grimace at my own words. I sound like a knockoff Christian Grey without the whips and red room of sexual pain. Plus, I'm not a billionaire. I shake my head. Olivia made me watch all three movies back to back one night when we were teens, and I hated it, but I loved watching her watch someone get fucked.
What do you do then?
I drug my sister nearly every night, cuddle her in her unconscious state, clean her apartment, and one time I stuck my cock in her. I probably shouldn't say that, though. Me, what do you think?
My imagination is a little crazy. I'll probably overstep and make you uncomfortable if I say what I think.
This is taking a different direction. My little whore of a sister is trying to dirty talk the biker. Me. Her brother. Me. Maybe my imagination is crazier? My gaze is fixed on the screen, the one on my desk, as I watch her chest rise and fall, her knees falling open. Is she turned on? That easily?
Prove it.
Again, I'm annoyed, even though my dick is hard. She's trying to invoke sex from someone she doesn't know. She's parting herself with her small fingers and rubbing her clit on her sofa, and I'm tossing aside my towel to fist my cock, watching her find pleasure. Pleasure she wants from a stranger. I let go of my dick and type, refusing to come unless it's on or in her. Me. See you at 7. The gas mask sits comfortably on my face as I stare at myself in the mirror. With my black combats and black hoodie, the hood pulled up, she'll never know it's me. I flip a screwdriver in my hand as I watch her through my screens. She's curling her hair as she sits in front of the floor-to-ceiling mirror at her friend's house. Is it normal to walk around naked in front of your friend? Abigail, disgustingly, only has panties on, and I try to block her from my vision as Olivia finishes her hair and rubs cream all over her naked body. I imagine her friend chopped up as she rubs the cream onto Olivia's back. When she disappears into the bathroom, my sister fixes her makeup so her lashes are too long and paints on black lipstick to go with her goth bride costume. Her heels are too high. She still won't be anywhere near as tall as me, but how will she run in them? The game will be over before it properly starts. The stockings cover her legs to her thighs, and the corset pushes her tits up, the train of the veil streaming down to her ass. She's not smiling at herself in the mirror as she inspects her art. Because that's what Olivia Vyse is. A piece of fucking art I want to own. I do own. She just doesn't know it yet. She looks sad. It could be the hour she spent crying to her friend about me, or while she watched videos of us, or the research she did online that, once again, gave her nothing. She takes pictures in the mirror, faking smiles from different angles, then she tosses her phone on the bed and sits at the foot of it. There's music playing in the background, another Taylor Swift song, and she's miming the words while she waits on her friend. I grin when I see the necklace she's wearing, the locket with our pictures in it. It fits with her costume, looking old and rustic. I watched her clip it on earlier, and she stared at the photo of us inside for longer than necessary. You see how good we are together, Olivia. We could have had the world, and you had to ruin it. I was going to give you everything you ever wanted. Now I need to take. I nearly have all of you. I have your mind. I have your body. I have your soul. The fear I instill in you, the pain I inflict when you defy me. You have a black heart, little sister, but I'll own that soon, too. Olivia and her friend leave the house, heading to the festival. It's not too far. I've been reading articles about it online. There will be dancing, fairground rides, food and alcohol, and there's a cornfield that stretches all the way to the woods. I fully intend to make use of that space. I flip the screwdriver in my hand a few times, then tuck it into my back pocket, checking to see if my motorbike helmet fits over my mask, but it doesn't, so I chuck it aside and settle on using the gas mask instead. It's 8 by the time I get there. I intentionally made myself late, made her blow my phone up while I watched her through the crowds. She's sexy, far sexier than watching her through the screens. She's dancing, drinking spirits, her and her friend laughing and throwing their heads back to the music. She keeps checking her phone for a reply from me, but she won't get one. Abigail's mouth is latched to a stranger's, and Olivia goes to get another drink, checking her phone on the way. I stay behind her, my hands fisting at my sides when I see the way people are looking at her, at how fucking hot she is. If I had a gun, I would have put a bullet in at least 10 people's heads by now. With the gas mask on, she won't recognize me, not as the biker and not as her brother. I stay close behind, watching as she pays for another drink, sipping it as she walks off to the side. Her heels click on the concrete, the sound softening as she carefully leaves the dancing side of the festival and heads towards the fairground. Some of the costumes are impressive, and some are downright ridiculous. Before I was in prison and shut off from the world, I never saw the big deal about Halloween, but my sister has always loved it. She likes to be scared. And I guess the entire theme of this holiday is to be